Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Today we begin a new series because it is the month of May. Happy May, everybody. Are you liking our balmy spring weather out there today? It's awesome. The series that I'm introducing for the 5 Sundays in May is a series titled The Rubber Hits the Road, all right? And so the theme verse throughout this month comes from the book of James, the first chapter, the 22nd verse. This is kind of the theme that we're going to be building this series on, where the apostle James says, do not merely, somebody say, do not. Somebody say it with your finger wagging, do not. Do not merely listen to the words of the Lord. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word of the Lord and deceive yourselves, the Bible says. Do what it says. Turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger and say, do what it says. So the whole reason we gather as a community right here is because we want to grow in our faith, and we grow from folks who are like seeds in our faith, newish. Things are just being planted in us. The goal isn't to stay a seed. The goal is to grow into a root that's digging down into the things of the faith, growing in wisdom and understanding. But here's the deal. We all don't want to stay here, even though we all stay here. Right? We have this online grow tool that in part has a survey that where we can assess where we're at. There's about 400 some people in this congregation who've taken our online grow tool. We know by the survey that 7% of our population at the river, 7% are folks who are newish to the faith, right here, about 7% are right there. We also know that about 7% of our people are over here. This is the trees, you know, strong with deep roots, but they're reaching up to God, blessing people. 7% of our people are right here. So 7 plus 7 is 14. 100 minus 14 is 86% of us are right here. Now, here's why that might be good. It might be good because maybe a short while ago, a crap load of people, can I say that in church, by the way? Thank you. Yep. A boatload of people were right here and have recently grown over here. And that's okay. That's why this might be okay. But I suspect it's not okay because I don't think that's the case. I think a boatload of people who are 86% roots in their faith have been stuck right here. Somebody say stuck. Stuck right there for a long time. These were never meant to be permanent stops. It's a process. We want to grow from roots who understand the things of the faith, have a foundation of the things of the faith, and we want to be roots who grow into trees that are a blessing to this world. And I'm telling you, in that journey, in that process, trees are people who have a tree-like faith are people who let what they know hit the road in their life. They're people who don't merely listen to the word of God and deceive themselves and think, hey, I got it because I heard it, I listen. They're people who do what it says. So when we talk this month about the rubber hitting the road in our lives, we're going to talk specifically about 5 different areas where faith impacts that which we do, because we all want to grow. I'm going to assume, those of you who are walking with the Lord, you don't want to be stuck in the same place today that you were last year. I'm going to assume that you want to grow and be different. I want to assume that the things that kind of mess with you today won't mess with you next day, all right? So I'm going to assume we're all going to want to move. And so the rubber hits the road is going to help us move down the track by addressing specific things, how faith interacts in our lives. Now turn to your neighbor and say, be careful. Careful. Whenever we do this type of teaching, we bump up against the danger. And the danger is that I could misrepresent what the scriptures say and give you a false impression that following Jesus is a checklist of things to do. If you just do this, 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 and this, y'all good. And that ain't the case. Everybody say, that ain't the case. See, so when we talk about the rubber hitting the road, about specific things we're going to call out in ourselves, we have to keep in mind the concept of John chapter 15, where Jesus himself says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Here's what you need to know about vine and branches, this imagery of John 15. It's the vine where the life comes from. If you ain't got no vine, you ain't got no branches, right? If the branch is not connected to the vine, what happens to the branch? Repeat after me. Vine, branch, together. It's the vine that the life comes up into the branch, and it's the branch that bears what? It's the vine that brings life to the branch, and the branch bears fruit. But if the branch is cut off from the vine, there ain't no fruit. So the point of the branch is to bear fruit, and in order for the branch to bear fruit, it has to be connected to the vine. So let me just explain this John 15 concept just a little bit more. You, I'm included in the you, are the branches. You are the branches that God wants to bear fruit with in the world. You're the ones that God wants to do things with by way of bringing kingdom impact in this world. Does anybody read the news or watch the news? Our world needs the kingdom of God to invade, doesn't it? Did you see that stupid lady who pet a bison in Yellowstone last week? Anybody read that news story? Man, she needs the kingdom of God to bring her some wisdom. You just don't do that. But beyond crazy women petting wild bison in Yellowstone, you know that the world has darkness in it, don't you? And God wants to do something about that darkness in the world. You know that there are people, you know people who are struggling and suffering. God wants to do something about that, and he wants to use you to do that something. And we will never do that something unless we are like a branch that's rooted in the vine, getting life from the vine. So all throughout this series, for the next 5 Sundays, I want to speak specifically on some things to do, but I want you to be clear that it's not a to-do list that you just do apart from God. All of this flows out of our connection to Christ. Is that clear? You got to remain. As Jesus says in John 15, remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. So that you got to know that before we go any further with this series. So it's not a to-do list. It's flowing out of our life in Jesus. Now, if you're newish to the faith, if you're visiting the river, or if you're not of the faith, this is a good sermon for you to kind of, the sermon series for you to watch to understand what we're to be about as followers. If you're someone who's been walking with Jesus for a while and you might find yourself stuck right here, this is a good sermon series to help you maybe move out of the root level on over here, or if you're newish over here, the seed to move in. So this is a series designed for movement. All right? So let me, all right? Y'all good? So here's the day's topic. Under the heading of the rubber hits the road, your faith hits your action, we're going to talk about Jesus and how you speak. Jesus and how you speak. Now, some of you are interested in saying, oh, crud, I got to quit saying those words. That's not what I'm talking about. See, the concept of Jesus hitting your life and how you speak is much bigger than whether you cuss or not. And so let me give you a case study to get at the topic of the rubber hitting the road in our lives and how God impacts or should impact our speech. I'm going to give you a case study, and I'm going to take you back to 1993. It's the year that I started seminary. Now let me just set the stage on what seminary is. It's a very boring and dry place. The universe, it's a university setting, it's a place where you get a master's or doctorate level degree specifically for ministry. So you're studying really exciting topics like church history, the polity of the church. I have no idea what that is, but I think I studied it. Systematic theology, things like infralapsarianism compared to super infralapsarianism. It's, you get this gripping feel for seminary, don't you, right now? And it's populated with people who have prefixes to the name like reverend or reverend doctor, and it's taught by a bunch of people who some would say, I'm not saying this, really didn't make it in the church, so they went to teach people how to do church, okay? I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what some said. And it's populated with students whose sole purpose in life is to go lead churches. And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like a raucous, crazy place. It's the opposite. It's very sterile, very straight-laced, There's a certain image and decorum with which you need to act while at seminary, and it is always proper. You're slouching, please sit up. And it's always orderly, and it's always polite and respectful. And so I went there. And I kind of fell into a group of buddies who people looked at and like, I don't know if you guys fit here. One of these buddies of mine, his name was Pierre Jacques Boujon. He was Aruban. Now, I didn't know this about Aruba, but Aruba, until I met Pierre, Aruba is a Dutch settled colony, right? So the people from the Netherlands, the Dutch came down and they conquered Aruba way back when, and they instilled everything Dutch in these Aruban people. So Pierre, who's Aruban by birth, was Dutch by characteristic. And one day we were hanging out, he was new to the school, and I said, oh, darn it. You would have thought I cursed his mother. He got up from his chair, he came over, he put his hand on my mouth. Brother, we do not say such words, for we are followers of Jesus. When you say darn it, you are cursing yourself to hell for all eternity. Oh, I didn't know. See, in his culture, you didn't say things like, darn it. But in his culture, in Aruba, you know that word that rhymes with duck that we really don't like to use publicly, you know? Well, some of you might like to use it publicly, but do you know what word I'm talking about? There's kids in the house. We're trying to be careful here, right? He would never say, darn it, but he was free with that duck. So we're in seminary, it's a straight-laced place. And he would disagree with the classmate in the classroom taught by Reverend Dr. Stuffy so-and-so. And he would interrupt with an explicative that made jaws drop in the class. Unbelievable to me. Another buddy of mine, his name was Rob Vanderputten. He was from Northwest Canada. He paid his way through seminary by selling half of his cows. He was a farmer. He was a salt of the earth guy. I like this guy. And he was just kind of rough around the edges. And in his part of Canada, the northwest corner of Canada, on the farm, you know, we would say if you stepped in cow poop, you would say you stepped in crap, right? You can imagine what word he was free with along those lines. It rhymed with hit. You understand what I'm saying? He was incredibly free with that word in the class. In preaching class, where you stand up in front of all of these future stuffy pastor types and, you know, Reverend Dr. So-and-so's, where everyone was parsing every word you said, he would say in the sermon that word and think nothing of it because in his culture that word was fine. These two dudes got reprimanded time and time again because their language was not honoring of the Lord. But you know what I saw Pierre and Rob do regularly that very few others in the seminary did? They would spend every lunch hour in the community kitchen, which is a place that served homeless people and people who couldn't afford lunches, and they would build relationships, pray for people, love people, have those people over for dinner on a regular basis. There were a couple faculty who had recently lost their spouse where the other students went and did their thing. Those two guys would invite those faculty members into their homes, feed them, hang out, and build relationships and offer love to them. If anyone needed anything, you know that you could go to Aruba or Canada and those dudes would give you literally the shirt off their back. It wasn't uncommon to look outside and see one of these two guys offering some form of service, helping somebody carry a couch from their car into the house, helping somebody cut the grass over in the corner. These guys modeled service. This was beautiful. It's a case study, right? So you got these two guys in mind? Meanwhile, there was a group of about 8 students when I was there who never in their wildest dreams would think of cursing whatsoever. No, you don't use that language. These guys had the outward appearance all down pat. They had everything where it looked right in order. They wouldn't even say shoot or darn. I mean, they had everything so tidied and buttoned up. Never would they. Those guys are using those words. But while we would have our morning chapel, and then we'd have a little coffee time afterwards where everybody'd hang out, these guys, about 8 of them, would sneak off to another room in the seminary, and they would just spend their time cursing the seminary for how stupid and poorly run it was. And they would kind of go through the seminary every now and then, just angry and grumpy and bitter because they knew how to run the seminary better than anybody else. And they let the entire world know that the seminary was being done wrong. And they had a really toxic effect on the room that they walked in. A room would be light and happy, but they'd walk in with their grumpy, bitter, angry spirits, and they would never swear. Oh, no, never swear. But in their grumpy, angry, bitter spirits, they'd begin to talk bad about everything they saw. I don't like the way that guy's doing. Every time a professor would make a point, they would argue and say, no, that's not right. And they regularly would accuse these professors who's given their lives, I was teasing them early, given their lives to training pastors to go impact the world. They would tease these guys and tell them that you don't really know Jesus. We need to teach you about Jesus. So as we talk about the rubber hitting the road and Jesus and our speech, I want to ask you a question. Is the concept of Jesus hitting our speech simply a matter of what words we say or don't say? Or is it a bigger concept? Is it a bigger concept of how we can use our mouth to be a blessing instead of a curse? What do you think? It's obviously the second one, right? You see, the concept of Jesus impacting our speech, it's much larger than our language. Please hear me. I'm not advocating everybody start dropping F-bombs everywhere. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if that's our focus, Jesus cleaning up our mouths, if that's the only thing we focus on, we've missed the entire point of what Jesus is getting at, because he wants to just do much more than that, and he wants us to be a blessing with everything we say and not parse words depending on your culture. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so when we read this in the scripture from just Jesus' words, he says, these people honor me with their lips. Now that sounds like a good thing, right? But their hearts are far from me. You see, Jesus, as the rubber hits the road and our language and our mouths and the things we say come under the lordship of Jesus, as we grow from seeds to roots to trees, as we become disciples that follow Jesus, we understand that what we say is secondary to what's going on in our hearts. Because what we say comes out of our hearts. And if you might say an S word here and there, but you're blessing people, whatever, I think that might be better than if you never ever swear, but you're always bringing people down with bitterness and anger. Because Jesus wants people who have him in the heart. So it's much bigger. The Apostle Paul would say this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, I'm pretty sure that in our culture, the F word is an unwholesome word. Please don't go around using this. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but I think bitterness, gossip, slander, negativity, complaint. I think these are the broader, bigger, more important unwholesomenesses that the text is talking about. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So the question, as the rubber hits the road with our language and our speech, the question is not, did I swear today or not? That's not the question. The question, the rubber that I want to hit the road in your life that I want you to wrestle with, isn't whether you swore or not today. The question is this, did you honor God with your speech today? I'll be taking notes. That's a good question. Did you honor God with your speech today? That's where the rubber hits the road, faith and language. Do we honor God with our speech? I'm thinking of 1994, it was a year after I went to seminary. I was doing a summer intern up in Ludington, Michigan, and I wanted to preach in a way, some of you have heard this story, that was hard for people to not pay attention. Because it's hard to pay attention when people speak at you for a long time, isn't it, right? I mean, how many of you are bored to death right now? It's honesty. It's a little hurtful. Just kidding. And so I wanted to be a preacher that would engage people and make people kind of at least pay attention. So I remember this day. It was 1994 up in Ludington, Michigan. It was an evening service. And I set out a rocking chair. Y'all remember this story? I set out a rocking chair. I had a pair of slippers and I had a cardigan sweater over it. Reminiscent of who? Anybody remember? Mr. Rogers. Who has no idea who Mr. Rogers is? Oh my goodness, Nathan, man, can I pray for you? I'm just kidding. He is my hero, man. It's awesome. Google Mr. Rogers. Can you do that? Mr. Rogers, when I was a little boy, right, he would welcome you to his neighborhood. It was Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, of course, and he would walk into his house, right, and he said hi to the mailman, Mr. McFeely, a creepy name, but, you know, he said hi to him, and he'd walk inside, and he would sit down, and he would take off his shoes, and he'd put his, like, house shoes on, and then he'd take off his jacket, and he'd put on his cardigan, and he'd always just sit there and relax, and I just felt like, man, I like this guy. And so I tried to play that up in a sermon, right? So I took off a, you know, coat, I put on a cardigan, I put on some slippers, I sat in this rocking chair, I picked up the Bible, and I was going to read the Bible, you know, as Mr. Rogers would. And then I read, and then I stood up and I was preaching, and in the sermon after my Mr. Rogers thing, I used the phrase, doggone it. How many ever used the phrase, doggone it? Doggone it's a good phrase, right? So, you know, I'm like, wow, okay. You know, as a young preacher, well, shoot, as an old preacher, you're wondering, you know, did I do anything good today? Was that awful? Did I kill it? What am I doing? Are people going to go to hell because I preached? I mean, what's going on? So I go outside, you know, it was at a church where this is awkward. I don't know if you had that. The pastor would go stand at the back door, right, and people would leave. And they'd give these old, what do you say? Oh, nice job. Oh, good sermon. So I was back there shaking hands, and this old lady comes back. Remember this story? I know some of you heard it. She gets up to me. Oh, hang on one second. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only, somebody say, but only. What's helpful? Somebody say, helpful. For building up, somebody say, build them up. For only what's helpful in building others up according to their needs. You see, with our mouth, we can build people up. The text is telling us you can lift people high and inspire them, or you can bring them down. And so this old lady comes up to me. Jab me in the chest with her pointy, bony finger and says, because of you, the church is going to hell. You know those witty comments that come like a day later? Man, I had a lot of them come the next day. Because of you and people like you, the church is going to hell. What? You. Plug the kids' ears, please. I'm serious. She said, you said God damn it in the sermon. I said, I did not. I didn't say that. She goes, you did too. When you said doggone it, that's the same thing. And you're taking the church to hell. And I'll never be back. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But only, means nothing else, only, just this one thing, but only that which is helpful for building up. Putting up others according to their needs. Now this dear old saint, she missed the mark horribly. She was so intent on parsing doggone it, thinking she was doing what that text said, that she did the exact opposite. I'd love to tell you that I've never been so stupid like that lady. Let me tell you how the rubber's been hitting the road in my life. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs. So I grew up in a several generation military family. My grandfather was in the military for 30 years. My father was a career military guy. And military people are very precise and precision oriented. You understand this? And so this is how it was in my home. It was a safe home. You know, I never got abused or anything. But this is that. Can I borrow your screwdriver? Y'all see where this is? We're pretending, right? It's on the right. If you're listening online, it's on the right of the. But so I said, can I borrow your, yep, you can borrow the screwdriver. I pick up the screwdriver, I'd go borrow the screwdriver, you know, because I was handy working on cars at age 3. It's not true. And then Dad told me to put the screwdriver back, so I put the screwdriver back exactly where I remembered it. Yeah. Now, if you're listening online, I put it on the left side, about 6 inches where it should have been. And so I'd you know, put it back, and you know, and you know what I'd get? Why didn't you put the screwdriver back where I told you to? But I did. I put it back. You didn't put it back. You need to put it back where it belongs. don't ever use my stuff again. Now, obviously, my dad learned that from his dad, you know, all that. I'm not bitter or anything. I'm just learning. Dad, can I go out with my friends tonight? Sure, bring me your watch. Come on over here. Okay, what time's your watch say? It says it's 8 o'clock. Yep, let's see. Synchronized watches are both, we both say 8 o'clock, right? Yep. Be back at 10. Okay. I get home, walk in. Oh, good. Look at that, 10:02. What time's your watch say? 10:02. What time did I say to be home? 10. You're grounded for 2 weeks. Woo! Carrying on. So in high school, I was actually recruited to play 4 different sports in college. You know, I could have high jumped in track. I could have played baseball, you know. I could have done football, and basketball is what I chose because obviously basketball is the best sport in the world, right? Amen. Amen. Very involved with athletics. My whole life was centered around it. But you know what coaches love to do? Do you know what coaches love to do? Take a guess. You know, you might have like, you know, a 20-point game, 10 rebounds, whatever, but you did turn the ball over like 3 times, and so what are the coaches focused on? Tell me, what do you think? Yeah, 3 turnovers. You know, I remember I missed a dunk in a game once. I had 3 dunks in a game, 1 on a 6'8 guy. It was really awesome. And let's just be clear, that's all I got right now. These are years long gone. But I missed the dunk. But I had 3 dunks. The next day in practice, guess what I heard about? Take a guess. Yeah. So I learned that leadership of any sort is about calling out everything that isn't perfect. Right? You see how I got these lessons? When the rubber hits the road. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Got it. I won't swear. I won't say that F word, the S word, the D word, the B word, and then I'm good. And I'm sure there's some others, but you got to make a list. That's what the text obviously means, right? Just don't swear. That's all it means. And if we think that's all it means, we're missing the point of the rubber hitting the road in our lives. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to what their need is. And so I learned that my role as a leader, father, you know, leader of a church, leader of anything, whatever, is to just call out every imperfection because that's what people need for me to call everything out. And so I've been leading my whole life the way I was led, thinking I was doing favors. No, you got to be careful how you say it. I know you got to be soft, you got to be gentle, you can't be being angry. But just be nice, and as long as you're nice, you can call out every little thing that isn't perfect because things need to belong where they belong, right? It's 10:02, not 10 o'clock. That's your job. And guess what? I've learned recently that I've been exhausting to be around. I've been very tiring for people under my leadership. But at least I didn't swear. Too much. So if we think that this text is only about swearing, we'll miss an entire scope of freedom and transformation that God has for us. There's more. No unwholesome talk. But only that which will build others up. Only that will build each other up. So Max, one of our sons, Zeke and I were with his brother and sisters down in Fort Wayne this week. They're at this big AAU basketball tournament. And I watched some coaches. There's some angry men out there, just so you know. And I saw this one coach, this team was struggling making layups. It happens from time to time. You play, you know, competition a little better, you get a little nervous, and you miss layups, and you can, and this one coach was screaming, "You got to make a layup!" And I'm thinking, that's really good coaching. Duh, of course you got to make a layup, you know? Of course. It's not like the guys are out there thinking, "Oh, I'm going to miss this layup because I can't wait to miss this one. Yeah, I feel really good when I miss this layup. Yeah, I missed it." And the coach was like, "You got to make that layup!" And the player's like, Oh, I do? So I witnessed this down there. What do you think happens to those guys who miss the layup and the coach is yelling at them, like yelling, "Don't miss that layup!" What do you think's happened to those guys? What happens the next time they get a layup? Man, I better make this because if I miss this, the coach is going to scream at me. I got to bonk. I saw another coach talk to this kid who missed a layup, like 3 of them. And this is what the kid did. Coach called a timeout. He had the kid come over and say, "Hey, I want you to ask me a question." The kid's like, "What?" "I want you to ask me if I care if you miss that layup." This 16-year-old kid. And the kid looked at him and said, "Well, do you care if I miss that layup?" Expecting to get lambasted. And the coach said, I don't care if you miss that layup. I love that you made a smart basketball play and got to the position to receive the pass to get a layup. That was well done. Way to go. Do that again. Layups will fall. Don't worry. Good job. Which of those two fits our text? But only that which builds others up according to their needs. It's when the rubber hits the road. With you and your language. I just shared how it's been hitting mine. I'm just tiring to be around because I'm nitpicky. Things got to go where they belong. I'm wondering where the rubber's hitting your road. And we'll never know the answer unless you actually take the time to do something with this teaching. See, I don't teach just to entertain you on a Sunday morning. I teach because I believe the Word of God can transform your lives. So what are you going to do with this teaching? I've been sharing how it's been hitting my life, and I'm wondering how it's going to hit your life. Let me give you three things that will help you answer the question, where does the rubber hit the road in your life when it comes to you and your speech? Number one, first thing you have to do, you have to examine yourself. See, if we want to bless folks with their words, we'll need to look deep on the inside. We got to look at our motivations for the things we say. We got to probe deep beneath our visible, invisible motives, ideas. So examine yourself. When you're talking with people, of course you're going to be like, oh, I don't do that. Do you manipulate? Or do you minister? Now, smart people will say, well, I minister, because that's the better answer. But wise people say, I don't know, let me think about it. Examine yourselves. Do you minister or do you manipulate? When you're talking to people with the things that you say with your mouth, does it really convey that the whole conversation's about you? Or is it about the one that you're talking to? Are you subtly and secretly hoping that they will bless you, or are you really wanting to bless them with your words? Examine yourselves. When you speak, are you kind of subconsciously thinking, man, I don't ever want to look bad, so I got to say the right things? Or are you with your words setting an environment where people feel safe to look bad? Because in that, healing can come. I believe the rubber wants to hit the road, boom, in your speech, because Jesus wants to do something with what your mouth does by way of speaking. So examine yourselves. Secondly, and most importantly, somebody say most importantly. Y'all lean to your right. Okay, I'll lean to my left then. I want you to lean into Jesus. Right at the very beginning, before I introduced today's topic, introducing the series, I said it's all about abiding in Christ, right? The vine brings life to the branches. If we're not leaning into Jesus, there'll be very limited fruit in our speech. God wants to bless others through your speech, so lean into Jesus. It says in John 15 that he's the vine, you're the branches. Remain in him and you will bear much fruit. Remain. Jesus would say in Luke, a good man, a good woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. This is Luke 6:45. A good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Where do you think the goodness of heart comes from? Leaning into Jesus, walking closely with him. So the rubber wants to hit the road with your speech. Jesus wants to do something with speech. And so examine yourselves, lean into Jesus, and then thirdly, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. I don't know if you heard last week, but I talked about how Peter was really humbled. And I even said, you know, sometimes what the world needs is for you to be humbled, because after he was humbled, there was more that could take place. But before he was humbled, there was no more. You need to be humbled and allow yourself to be humbled so that you can get the lesson, so that the world can be blessed through you. Humble yourselves. The rubber hits the road.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.